There's our school bell, and it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. I'd invite you at this time to get your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus. In a few moments, we're going to be studying a text from Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Now, we're going to introduce this text by making connection to what we studied in the last lesson. But you'll turn to Exodus 19, and you'll be able to follow with us soon enough. What we were studying in the last lesson is about how Israelite was a missionary nation. And even though God gave Israel a special law that was unique unto them and was never intended as a universal law for all the nations, and we're talking about the law that he gave at Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses, those of other nations that came to the place where the Israelites lived could, if they wanted to, conform to this law and live under the law that Israel that was given for the Israelites. Let me read to you from Numbers chapter 15 and verse 29. There Moses wrote, "You shall have one law for him that doeth aught unwittingly, for him that is homeborn among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among you." Later we'll read in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 32 through 33. "Moreover, concerning the foreigner that is not of thy people Israel, when he shall come from a far country for thy great namesake and thy mighty hand and thine outstretched arm, when they shall come and pray toward this house, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calleth to thee for, and all the people of the earth may know thy name, and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name." So God gave that nation of Israel a special, unique law to live by that we call the Law of Moses. But other nations and people of other nations could come and worship God and serve Him according to that law, should they so choose. Now today, the Israel of God, Galatians 6:16, who are Christ, Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise, are Christians, are both Jews and Gentiles, Galatians 3:29. They are the salt of the earth and the light of the world and the true missionaries. One Christian, according to opportunity and ability, is as much a missionary as another. The Church of Christ is the pillar and ground of truth, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 5, "The church falls short exceedingly, as did Israel of old, but no other institution than the church is necessary." You see, we read in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, "If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, I want to get to our text in Exodus chapter 19. Before I do, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And a preacher from the far past is guiding us through these studies by way of the notes he wrote for Sunday school. His name, E.A. Elam. And this particular Sunday school lesson was for the Sunday of October 14th, 1923. So let's follow him now as he carries us through this text. The text is Exodus chapter 19. I'll begin reading the first two verses. "In the third month, after the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And when they were departed from Rephidim, and were come into the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mount. It was the third month after the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, that they encamped before Mount Sinai. The appearance of God to Moses in the burning bush at Horeb, God speaking in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, Deuteronomy 4:15, to the children of Israel, the giving of the law from Sinai, the encampment of the children of Israel about the mount for so long, God's appearance there to the loyal Elijah 6 centuries after, when he fled from that furious woman Jezebel, 1 Kings chapter 19, and the frequent allusions in Scripture to the glorious and awful occurrences and scenes there when God came down upon it, make this mountain one of the most memorable spots on the earth. Listen as we read from Judges chapter 5 and verse 5. The mountains quaked at the presence of Jehovah, even yon Sinai at the presence of Jehovah, the God of Israel. Listen to the 68th Psalm in verse 8 and in verse 17. Yon Sinai trembled at the presence of God, the God of Israel. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands upon thousands, and the Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the sanctuary. And listen to the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 3 and verse 3. For he that hath been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by so much that he built the house, hath more honor than the house. We're talking about God and his appearances on Mount Sinai. Horeb was probably the name of the group of mountain peaks, and Sinai of that particular peak of which God met with Moses and from which he spake to the people and gave the law. In the New Testament, Sinai is contrasted with Mount Zion, and the law given from Sinai through Moses with the new covenant given through Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. Tell me, that ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had 2 sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Howbeit the son of the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son of the free woman is born through promise. Which things contained an allegory? For these women are 2 covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children unto bondage, which is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an entrance to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother, for it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her which hath the husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, so also it is now. Howbeit was saith the Scripture, Cast out the handmaid and her son. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. I also want to read to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and beginning in verse 18. And here in contrasting Sinai with Zion, we read, For you are not coming to a mound that might be touched and that burned with fire, and unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that no word more should be spoken unto them, for they could not endure that which was enjoined. If even a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned. And so fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable host of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, unto the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape, who turn away from him that worketh from heaven, whose warning then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removal of those things that are shaken as of things that have been made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, when we read back in the book of Exodus, chapter 1 and 2, that it was in the same day that they came out of the wilderness of Sinai, that they came to the Mount Horeb, here's what we're talking about. The same day probably means the first day of the third month, after the departure of the children from Egypt. Clark's commentary expresses the opinion of some as follows. The Jews celebrated the feast of Pentecost 50 days after the Passover. From the departure out of Egypt to the coming of Sinai were 45 days. For they came out the 15th day of the first month, from the day, from which day to the first of the third month, 45 days are numbered. On the second day of this third month, Moses went up to the mountain. When 3 days were given to the people to purify themselves, this gives the 40th day of the third month, the fourth day of the third month, and the 49th from the departure out of Egypt. On the next day, which was the 50th, from the celebration of the Passover, the glory of God appeared on the mount, in commemoration of which the Jews celebrated the feast of Pentecost. And so you see there's this connection between the Passover and the Pentecost. The Passover, remembering when they left Egypt, and the Pentecost, remembering the time they received the law at Mount Sinai. On the day of Pentecost, 50 days from the slaying of Christ, our Passover, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the law of the Lord went forth out of Zion, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. Now we read about this both in prophecy and in fact. And I would like to read to you two of the prophecies. They sound almost similar because these prophesied at the same time. The first is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, where we read, "And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and will decide concerning many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." And the second prophecy is Micah chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, where it says, "Many nations shall go and say, come ye, let us go up into the mountain of Jehovah, and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem."